taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study, where we read, we study the Constitution, we teach rising generation to be free. I am glad you could join me today. You know, the news nowadays, well, just it hasn't been very good from freedom standpoint. Sure, there's been a lot going on north of our border that certainly doesn't bode well for freedom and liberty and rights, but there's been a lot going on right here in the good old USA that really doesn't speak well for freedom and rights and liberty. So let's start with our friends north of the border. What's been going on there has been it's an example of opposites. You have peaceful demonstrations for the restoration of rights and liberty. Granted, they are making one legal mistake in that they are blocking public traffic. That is an infringement on somebody else's rights. But with that one exception, it's been peaceful. There's not been riots. There's not been property damage. People haven't been harassed. Like I said, the one exception to the peaceful protests has been the fact that they're blocking traffic. And you compare that with the reaction of the government. Everything from referring to them as terrorists and Nazis and to stealing their money, stealing their fuel. It's been quite an interesting dichotomy north of the border. Now, in the middle of this comes a gentleman by the name of Harold Risto. And if I'm mispronouncing your name, I do sincerely apologize. Now, who is this gentleman? Well, let's see. He is a veteran. He's a Canadian veteran. He is a pastor. I believe he was actually a chaplain in the military. And he told the Federalist, he said, "My parents escaped from Germany under the Nazis and communists. I've seen real terrorism. Our freedom is at stake here." He's making a very important point. Now, Mr. Risto noted that before the police closed in on the protesters, the demonstration he referred to said it had a market fair attitude. There were bouncy castles for children. There were soup kitchens for the hungry. There was organized cleanup of public property. And when the people complained about the noise or local disruptions, well, the truckers stopped making noise after 6 p.m. This was actually confirmed by the local news. He even witnessed truckers keeping the emergency lanes open during their protest to protect the locals. So they didn't completely close off traffic. This was a peaceful public assembly. Now, for his participation in this peaceful public assembly, Mr. Risto has faced criticism and threats from fellow pastors, fellow citizens, and sure enough, the Canadian government-run media. Prime Minister Trudeau invoked the Emergencies Act on February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. And this act allowed the Canadian government to seize the children and property of anyone who attended the protest without a court order or even a proceeding. Now, this legislation was enacted in 1988 when they were dealing with separatist movements and the people that were trying to break up the country. But I believe this is the first time it was ever used against a peaceful demonstration. The Canadian government deployed anti-terrorist banking measures to shut down personal and crowdfunding accounts for those involved in the people protesting the draconian actions of the government. Canadian police arrested nearly 200 protesters just the other Sunday, and those who brought their children to Ottawa to protest and they charge and they charge them and with crimes punishable up to 5 years in prison. Now, the convoy organizers announced an orderly departure from the nation's capital, and on Monday, the Canadian Senate scheduled a review of Trudeau's use of the act previously known as the War Measures Act. But what does this say about Canada? How would a veteran, a man who went and fought for the rights of the Canadian people, and a pastor, a chaplain, a man who saw after the spiritual needs of others, how does he view what's been going on? Well, in an interview with a Christian radio program, Mr. Risto basically said the Canadian government has basically declared war on their own people. Specifically, Mr. Trudeau has basically declared war on his own people. That's a fair description. This was not merely a question of trying to break up an illegal demonstration. I'm not familiar with Canadian law, so I don't know if this demonstration was legal or not. But this has been an escalation of quite serious scope. To peacefully demonstrate, yes, okay, you're blocking traffic. To punish blocking traffic with 5 years in jail, with the confiscation of your children. This is Nazi Germany. It is not the truckers that are the Nazis. It is Prime Minister Trudeau. He's the one acting like a Nazi. Like Kim Jong-il in North Korea. Like Pol Pot back in Cambodia in the days of the killing fields. It is not the Canadian truckers that are acting like terrorists. It is Prime Minister Trudeau who is acting as a terrorist. Because if you disagree with him, he will bring all the powers of the Canadian government to bear to crush you. Canadian police use pepper spray and stun grenades to clear the Capitol. Now again, there have been, to my knowledge, there have been no charges of violence from the demonstrators, other than the fact that they've blocked thoroughfares. They've blocked the free flow of travel. They haven't assaulted anyone. They haven't committed any property crimes. But they were themselves assaulted with pepper spray and stun grenades. This is the type of stuff you use when you're taking down seriously violent criminals. All for people who are protesting the draconian actions of what is supposed to be a free government in a free country north of our border. How can Canada still call itself a democracy? I mean, true, if I look at it, Canada looks much more like a republic. But again, I'm not an expert on Canadian law or the Canadian Constitution. But you certainly cannot call yourself a free country if you treat protests, if you treat anyone who counters the narrative of government this way. I mean, sure, if these people were committing arson or assault or anything like that, maybe. But they're not. This is the violent, oppressive repression of the people who disagree with government. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police say they're looking into alleged leaks of screenshots showing Canadian authorities boasting about the brute force used against the protesters. From one RCMP member allegedly wrote, "Time for the protesters to hear our jackboots on the ground." Now, does that sound like a free Canada? Or does that sound more like Nazi Germany? This is a serious question. I know people say, you know, the first to mention the Nazis loses. But these people are acting like Nazis. Or like any repressive regime. It could be Castro's Cuba. It could be Venezuela or any place where government crushes dissent. See, this is not a land of freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is now a myth in Canada. Because if you say something that Prime Minister Trudeau thinks is unacceptable, you can be doxxed. You can have your bank accounts frozen. You can have your property taken. You have to have your children taken. I'm wondering if the truckers' protests, especially the protests in front of the Capitol, maybe is better described as Canada's Tiananmen Square, where, you know, in China, in Tiananmen Square, the Chinese government sent tanks. Here, the Canadians are just sending riot police. It says a lot about the current state of the Canadian government, and none of it is any good. The question is, will the Canadian people stand for it? Will the Canadian people allow their fellow citizens to have their rights trampled for disagreeing with Prime Minister Trudeau? Will they stand by while media outlets are leaking information about donors to the Freedom Convoy? The impersonal information of roughly 90,000 donors was hacked from GiveSendGo, from the crowdfunding site GiveSendGo. And this information is being shared by, among other things, the media. And I don't just mean Canada's CBC, the government-owned media. No. New York Times, Washington Post are running articles that reveal leaked data from GiveSendGo. See, this is America starting to get into the game. If you disagree, your personal data gets released publicly. Now, remember, these are the same outlets, I believe, that refused to talk about Hunter Biden's laptop because it was supposedly hacked information, even though it wasn't hacked. But they're more than happy releasing this type of information about people they disagree with. This is doxing. And now we have American companies complicit. Accessories after the fact to the distribution of private information in support of a tyrannical, dictatorial government in Ottawa. And you say, Paul, this is supposed to be the Constitution. So we're supposed to be talking about the U.S. Constitution. If they can get away with it in Canada, don't you think they'll try it here? I mean, it's only across our northern border. Do you really think that the only people that are going to get involved in this are the media? President Biden has already told Trudeau that he needs to use more force. Governor Whitmer of Michigan offered heavy equipment to help clear the bridge. Do you really think this is going to stop north of our border? Because I don't. This is the type of actions that happen when people allow governments to run unrestrained. And for each and every one of you, they're going, well, Paul, come on, that's Canada. You know, they're different. That's not America. President Biden just extended the fictitious lie of a U.S. national emergency. See, back early in 2020, President Biden said there was a U.S. national emergency, and he used that lie, that bald-faced lie, to crush the rights of the American people. To say you don't have a right to work without submitting to a medical experiment, that you must be masked and gagged and tested within an inch of your life. And now when all the proof is the vaccines don't stop you from getting COVID, the masks don't stop you from getting COVID, that people are not dying en masse from COVID, when we're seeing cities and states roll back their restrictions because they're terrified they're going to lose in the midterm elections, what does President Biden do? He extends the state of emergency. Doesn't that sound like something that Trudeau just did? He invoked the Emergencies Act. Here's Biden saying, no, we're going to keep ours going. And he's going to use this lie as an excuse to extend the crushing of rights and dissent in America. He's going to use this to help send data to say, Facebook, this is disinformation. It should be disallowed. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, every place he can. How dare you contradict us? It's happening here in America, folks. The only difference is we haven't started demonstrating in front of the White House yet. Yet. See, there's our own freedom convoy that's being put together. Now, I don't have all the details of it. I'm sure you can find them with a relatively quick search. But what do you think is going to happen if a bunch of freedom-loving citizens, truckers, moms, dads, everyday ordinary people, start gathering outside the White House, outside Capitol Hill, outside the Supreme Court, backing up traffic, peacefully demonstrating? What do you think Biden's going to do then? Do you think he's going to call them terrorists and insurrectionists and use a state of emergency to bring in out the National Guard and the military to shut things down? Do you think he's going to use the federal government's influence over the banking system to freeze your bank account so you don't have access to your own money? Do you think he's going to gather information about you or anybody that donates to you and make that publicly available to groups that are more in line with his opinion, so that people will get intimidated and bullied in the name of what President Biden wants? Do you think Nancy Pelosi will put together a special committee to review what happens when our freedom convoy reaches Washington, D.C.? See, none of this is new. They've already declared the state of emergency. None of this is new. So what happens? Well, the answer really comes down to, what are the American people going to do? See, that's the part that people, I think, if there's one thing the people of America need to hear, it's actually a line from President Lincoln. So he said, the people are the rightful masters of both Congresses and courts, not to overturn the Constitution, but to overturn the men who pervert the Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time we remember we are masters of government, not its subjects, not its slaves. That we are there to overturn those who are perverting the Constitution. There is plenty of perverting going on. This declaration of this national emergency is a perversion of the Constitution. There is no power delegated to the United States to declare a state of emergency and suspend parts of the Constitution of the United States. It does not exist. Nothing supersedes the Constitution of the United States, not legally. There's nothing in the Constitution says we can do things that we're not authorized to because, well, we've declared a state of emergency. Whether that's declaring a public health risk or, writing rules and regulations and executive orders and just throwing the Constitution aside, that's not legal. But you see, way too many Americans are sitting back going, tisk, tisk, tisk. You're not supposed to do that, Mr. Biden. You're a bad man. Oh, sure, they'll get on their keyboards. They'll play keyboard warrior and forward all sorts of articles and make all sorts of grand statements. But there are very few that will actually stand up and going, excuse me, Mr. President, we didn't say you could do that. That act is void, and we will ignore it. How many of you are going to your county commissioners and your sheriffs and saying, you do realize this is void and it's your job to protect me from it? How many of you are going to your state legislatures and your governor saying, when are you going to grow a spine and stand up to this tyrant in D.C.? All the tyrants in D.C. When? You don't need to beg the courts for permission to do that. The states created the federal government. The states voted and ratified the Constitution that created the federal government. Only the states can amend the Constitution. Only the states. And the 10th Amendment clearly states that if a power is not specifically delegated to the United States, it belongs either to the states or the people. So when the United States assumes a power not delegated to it, that's theft. And the states don't have to put up with it. When will they start? We are in very dangerous times, folks. So I've said all along, we need to work on our problems while we can still do so safely at the ballot box and in the office rooms, in the offices. But we're getting to the point where the only way we're going to be able to defend our rights is through non-compliance and possibly armed self-defense. I foresee a time, a possible future, where the only way you protect your rights is if you're willing to defend them with force. When the agents of government come to deprive you of your rights, saying no and having a method of standing up to them. Is that really the way we want to deal with our problems? You see, we're here because the American people let this infection fester. It's time to lance the boil. It's time to overturn the people who are perverting the Constitution. We cannot fix Canada, but we can fix the United States of America. And you start by making sure your county will defend your rights. Remind them of the proper power structure. The federal government is not the most powerful government in this structure. It's actually, believe it or not, it's actually your sheriff. The states determine what the federal government can and cannot do. And it's time we stop hiring wimps and spineless people in our state governments, and we start finding men and women that will look the federal government in the eye and say, no, we did not authorize it. We do not consent to it. That is not a just power. If you attempt to enforce it within our jurisdiction, you will go to jail. I know it's scary. And we didn't have to get to this point. But since we did nothing when the problem was small, now we must take more drastic measures. That we still do not have to initiate violence. I'm still with Captain John Parker. We must learn to stand our ground. To stand on the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States, and stand our ground. Stand up against the bullies. Stand up against the tyrants. Don't fire unless fired upon. But we must be willing to fight. If those in government and Washington and your state house, if they want to go to war over your rights, bring it on. Bring it on. Because if we don't fight for them today, when we still don't necessarily need arms, Our children will fight for them with gunfire tomorrow. And the fault will not be our children's. The fault will not be the politicians. It will not be the system. It will not be the Constitution. It will be we, the people, because we were too cowardly to stand for right and justice when the cost was small. And now we may be forced to stand when the cost is quite dear indeed. Now, I have to take a break, but before I do, please head over to constitutionstudy.com/study. I finished up the free part of the study. The recording is being finished and uploaded to the site probably as you're listening to this. But you can still listen to the free portion recorded, and you can still get the you can still buy the full study. Find out more, again, at constitutionstudy.com/study. Also, please head over to healthycell.com. You know, most vitamins have not been upgraded since the 1930s. So Healthy Cell developed vitamins that work at the cellular level to do things like boost your immune system, help you sleep better, help you focus. I use Healthy Cell. My wife uses Healthy Cell. You know, and one of the things I find is, you know, some days you get to the end of the day and you just have a hard time focusing. You know, it's you look at the page and the words just aren't coming, or you're looking at the application and it just doesn't want to work. So I've been using Focus and Recall. No, don't head for the energy shots. Don't take the energy drinks. They're full of sugar and caffeine. And sure, they'll wake you up, but they'll give you a buzz and then a crash. Healthy Cell's Focus and Recall doesn't do that. It's a simple gel. Take the gel. It helps your mind focus without the jitters and without the crash later in the day. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order. All you have to do is go to healthycell.com and use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. Try any of their products, put anything you want in the cart. But when you check out, use that code OUTLOUD at checkout for 20% off your first order.
It's time to rethink COVID disinfection. A study by Harvard, Drexel, and Virginia Tech concluded, we don't have a single documented case of COVID transmission through surfaces. The reality is that COVID spreads mainly through the air. Shared air is the problem, not shared surfaces. The solution is the Genesis Fogger, which uses natural HOCl to disinfect both air and surfaces simultaneously. It's perfect for home or business. NIH says HOCl may well be the disinfectant of choice for coronaviruses. There's nothing more natural or more effective. Genesis fogs at the precise particle size to combat COVID and other harmful pathogens. It's what's missing from your disinfecting protocol. Visit genesisfogger.com. America Out Loud listeners receive a 15% discount with promo code OUTLOUD at genesisfogger.com/outloud.
The spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. We are the voice of a nation, the American nation, that is. This is Malcolm Out Loud. I invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com, where the fight for liberty and justice continues. America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's healthycell.com. HEALTHYCELL and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome back to the Constitution Study. Today we are talking about, well, I guess you call them empires, tyrants, despots. Right now we call them leaders of the quote-unquote free world. First half of the program, we took a look at what was going on up in Canada, and we ended up looking at what's going on right here in these United States. But let's take a look more. See, it's one thing to see the political grunts, the people who call themselves political leaders. It's one thing to see them act like tyrants. What happens when others start acting like tyrants? Now, we know that a lot of companies have instituted these vaccine mandates. And a lot of people have been complaining. A lot of people have been trying to fight them. There have been plenty of lawsuits. Well, in an opinion out of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, they found that United's treatment of religious objectors amounted to coercion. In the opinion, the judges said, United has presented plaintiffs with two options: violate their religious convictions or lose all pay and benefits indefinitely. That is an impossible choice for plaintiffs who want to remain faithful but must put food on the table. In other words, United is actively coercing employees to abandon their convictions. Now, that's an important point because, as I've discussed before, the Nuremberg Code requires that before anybody use an experimental product, any sort of experimental, in this case, drug, they must have informed consent, and that consent must be free of coercion. Now, we've already talked about how the coercion that's been going on to intimidate people to participate in this medical experiment. But here we have Jennifer Walker Elrod and Andy Oldham, who put in the opinion of a three-judge panel of the circuit court, the Fifth Circuit, that this is coercion. That makes it a violation not only, I believe, of the Nuremberg Code, which is medical ethics, but also of federal law, because any treatment, any medical product released under an emergency use authorization must involve informed consent, including the knowing that they're being told that the person has the opportunity to opt out. So this is, it's more evidence of just how tyrannical not just government is. This is a private corporation. This is United Airlines. Now, okay, so United Airlines is violating the Nuremberg Code, the medical ethics. But more importantly, everybody who gave an injection to a United employee who was coerced into that decision has violated their medical ethics and should have their license suspended. And that's really scary if you think about it, because I wonder what percentage of our medical professionals have violated the basic code of ethics, that they have not verified the voluntary informed consent that is necessary to fulfill the Nuremberg Codes. Now, the opinion of the judges went on to say, to coerce a plaintiff into violating their religious convictions brings about the harm that is irreparable and supports a preliminary injunction. So right now, United's vaccine mandate has been enjoined in the Fifth Circuit. Now, legally, that only applies within the Fifth Circuit. It doesn't apply nationwide, but it's probably something that United will adopt nationwide. It's not legally required, but hey, when do we actually start following the law in this country? So the case actually goes back down to a U.S. district court, in this case with a judge, Mark Pittman, this judge really turned down the injunction. The injunction is now in place. Now the case gets to be heard. And that's the other thing I want to, just as a sidebar, many of the places where you see that this, you know, this injunction or this mandate's been blocked and this mandate's been blocked, these are actually only temporary injunctions until these cases work through the courts. The good news is these cases aren't done. The bad news is we're basically asking governments, mostly federal governments, to protect our rights for us. We're abdicating our responsibility to do it ourselves, and we're asking the federal government to protect us, in many cases, from the federal government, although in this case, it's from a private corporation, which may or may not be acting under the auspices of a fake executive order from the federal government. So we've got government actors infringing on rights, acting like tyrants. We have private corporations, but these actions have long-term serious consequences. See, there's a high school senior in North Texas that needs a kidney transplant. And reportedly, Cook Children's Hospital is refusing to allow the child to have a kidney transplant because the student wasn't vaccinated. Now, this is what, the third or fourth case I've talked about where you have people waiting for a life-saving transplant that are being removed from the list because they refuse to be a subject of a medical experiment. Tell me this isn't, no, a lot of people say, no, they're simply refusing a vaccination to protect other people. Well, one, it doesn't protect other people. Two, it's a medical experiment. This, you're basically saying, again, Cook County Hospital is participating in forced, coerced, human medical experimentation. Think about what that says about the American people. That we are standing by and allowing fellow citizens to be coerced into participation in medical experimentation. That's nothing to stand up and be proud about. This is a shameful time in American history. Shameful. That we are not only coercing people with their jobs, coercing people with illegal mandates and draconian punishments. Now we're saying, listen, if you want life-saving treatment, you must give up your right to not be a participant in a medical experiment. Tell me this isn't cruel and inhuman punishment. Tell me this doesn't rise to the atrocities committed by the Nazis. Not all of them, but we're talking about forced medical experimentation within the United States of America. How do we stand for it? Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of Texas, you have a lot to be proud of. This is not one of them. Is there another hospital that will perform this treatment, this transplant on this young man? Are there no free medically ethical wise doctors and hospitals in Texas? Really? See, it's one thing to look at this hospital and go, shame on them. The administrators, the transplant coordinator, the surgeon, whoever is refusing to do the transplant because of the lack of vaccination, that is shameful. And again, I believe their licenses, they should be investigated and possibly have their licenses pulled. They are violating basic medical ethics. But so is the hospital. So is anyone else that's refusing to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, how long are we going to put up with this? How long are we going to support this type of medical experimentation? This type of coercion, bullying, intimidation? That's what I want to know. I know it gets wrapped up in a lot of fancy words and a lot of you know, rhetoric and stuff. You're talking about holding a high schooler's life hostage to participation in a medical experiment that is not necessary for the treatment of his disease. Can you think of anything worse than that? Look at a teenage child and say, sure, we can do this and it might save your life, but nope, only if you give up your rights. Only if you become a participant in a medical experiment. Only if you try an untested drug with no information about the long-term effects. The quote-unquote vaccines, these fake vaccines, have not been around long enough to know what the long-term effects are. And this is, and we're saying, nope, you've got to become a medical experiment. How long are we going to let this happen? Where are the men and women of conscience in America standing up and coming to this poor young man's assistance? Tell me, how can the transplant coordinator and surgeon that are refusing to fulfill this case, who are requiring, who are demanding that a young man participate in a medical experiment as a condition of getting life-saving treatment, how can they walk around with their heads held high? How? How are the lawyers and the insurance companies for this hospital not suspending them? Because they're liable to get sued. And you know, sued for a lot of money. But just as a human being, I want us to get our mind to wrap around this concept that a teenage boy is having life-saving treatment held up because he or his parents refuse to participate in human medical experimentation. Put all the lipstick on that pig that you want. You're dealing with coercion to participate in medical experiment. You are dealing with extortion, having your life-saving treatment held hostage. And the American people seem to be okay with it. You know, it's funny that north of the border, we're seeing tens of thousands of truckers protesting the requirement for participating in this medical experiment. Where are the people showing up to protest the attack on the threat to this young boy's life? Where? But sadly, there's another way that much of the world, at least much of the Western world, is resembling Nazi Germany. And that's with religious intolerance. See, more and more we're seeing examples of religious exemptions to draconian mandates being ignored, put down, disqualified. When a law professor was asked whether or not religious exemption should just inherently exist in certain institutions, she argued that the larger issue is that people who are not religious will take advantage of the exemption, citing a faux devotion to certain faith in order to avoid receiving the vaccine based on personal choice, and thus for personal reasons. I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. In other words, you don't have a personal choice about getting the vaccine. In other words, she went on, to Levinson, the religious exemption law is merely a loophole. Certain members of her society are seeking to avoid vaccine mandates by seeking religious exemptions. She emphasized that, therefore, we should abolish religious exemptions for vaccine mandates. Religious objection to vaccinations are not a license to kill. Again, taking or not taking the vaccine does not kill anyone. To deny a person's religious, their conscience, religious or otherwise, is not simply a violation of the Constitution. It's a violation of some of those basic human rights. Those who oppose vaccines on their out for religious purposes are often vilified. Peter Cordy of Rutgers University wrote in August of 2020 that never in his 4 years at Rutgers had he received such vicious, vulgar, and venomous personal attacks. Since taking a stand against the school's vaccine mandate, he has been called a monster, a fake Christian, a murderer, stupid, irresponsible, a liar, and better off dead. That's people with religious objections. What does that say about religious intolerance in America, where a religious exemption leads to vilification, to the idea of you're a murderer if you exercise a religious exemption? It says it's not a license to kill, except no disease, no lethal disease in our history have we ever mandated vaccination for the entire population. The closest the people can get is an 1800s case where the choice was get vaccinated against smallpox. For someone, there was probable cause that he was infected with smallpox. Get vaccinated, pay a $5 fine. About $120 in today's inflated money. Compare that to being referred to as a fake Christian, a murderer, irresponsible. The religious intolerance in this country has become palpable. And no, it's not just the vaccine mandates. It is so much more. Yes, America is looking more and more like Nazi Germany. And not simply because of the government, but because the people, the citizens now, act more like the intolerant, hateful, anti-Semitic, religiously intolerant actors blind followers of a government messiah, as the Germans did in the 1930s. And I fear that future generations will look at us with the exact same contempt that they look at the Nazis. Sure, the Germans in the 1930s and early 40s, they probably didn't know what Hitler had in mind. They probably hadn't anticipated millions killed. But then again, we don't know what the long-term outcome of this human experiment in the mRNA vaccine technology will be. There are already more deaths reported related to the vaccine in VAERS than in every other vaccine ever brought forth to the American people. No other vaccine where the adverse effects are recorded in VAERS. You add them all together and we still have more for COVID. Yet we're called murderers if we don't submit. Religious intolerance, civil intolerance, tyrannical governments, tyrannical corporations, tyrannical people who believe that you're paramount to a murderer, that not taking an experimental drug makes you is a license to kill, which is utterly irrational. When the death rate from COVID is even at the overinflated numbers coming from the CDC, is a fraction of the population. Yes, hundreds of thousands of people have died, most of them with COVID, not from COVID. Based on the CDC's own numbers, between 75 and 94% of the people who have died, who they reported as COVID deaths, died with COVID, not from COVID. This is what the Western world has come to, where religious intolerance is acceptable, where your personal medical decisions are no longer yours, where tyrannical governments will bully and intimidate you and coerce you into participating in a medical experiment. And it's not a single country that's doing this, but it's multiple countries. Now, we can't fix Canada or England or any country in Europe. We can't fix Russia or China. But what are we going to do about America? What are we going to do right here in the United States? What are we going to do when the Supreme Court of the United States denies an injunction so that a San Diego high school student with natural immunity, which the CDC itself admits is better than the fake vaccine immunity, they don't get a chance. The student is not allowed to not participate in the vaccine, knowing that having had COVID already makes her at higher risk for certain negative impacts from these fake vaccines. Nope, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that this student has natural immunity. It doesn't matter that this is a unconstitutional mandate by the state of California. Doesn't matter that it discriminates her by not offering a religious exemption. Doesn't matter. The Supreme Court doesn't offer her an injunction. That's where we sit. She doesn't have a right to control of her own body. Her parents don't have a right to control over her own body. And all this for a medical experiment that, for all intents and purposes, has failed. The vaccine does not stop someone from getting COVID. It doesn't stop someone from spreading COVID. At best, maybe it decreases some of the symptoms, but it introduces so many more. Bob Saget died after boasting that he had been fully vaccinated and boosted, and they found out he had COVID. Or comedian Heather McDonald, again, boasting about being fully vaccinated, passes out on stage. Those cases of myocarditis and pericarditis, these are actual risks. And it doesn't matter, because the state has determined that you must participate in a medical experiment. I never thought I'd see the day when I could see serious, honest parallels between the United States of America and Nazi Germany. Sure, I've seen people who acted that way, and I've seen small groups, but to see the nation as a whole act in such an evil way is truly heartbreaking. I weep for what future generations are going to say about us. But I'm not without hope. Because just as the Canadian truckers have rekindled a faith in the sacred fires of liberty for the Canadians, we could do the same thing here. It doesn't take a revolution. It doesn't take an insurrection. All it takes is the American people to realize that the government is not their master. To look through the lies and the misinformation. To recognize that the media has given up the mantle of news decades ago. To look at the facts, to look at the data, to realize you've been lied to, and simply say No. No more. We're standing our ground. No farther will you encroach on our lives. No longer will we stand by while you steal the rights, the liberty, and in some cases, the life of our fellow citizens. We've had enough. Will the American people stand up? You know, back last July, I posted an article called The Redeclaration of Independence. And I went through the 27 grievances that the colonists had against King George. And I looked to see if they could be applied to the government in Washington. Sadly, each and every one of them could. But in the several months since then, in the roughly 6 months since then, I've watched something really horrendous grow. See, now it's not simply the government that is the tyrant. It's a large segment of the American people. But I console myself with recognizing that during our fight for independence, only 3% of the colonists actually fought for independence. If there are 3% of the American people that will stand up and fight for our freedom, our rights, our liberty, against not only our government, but in some cases our neighbors, in some cases the bureaucrats and organizations that wish to control our lives, are there 3% of the American people who will stand? And how many of the rest of the American people are willing to stand with those who stand for their rights? Will we stand our ground? Will we fight this war if that's what the other side wants? Or will we merely capitulate because you no longer have the backbone and the conviction to stand for freedom and liberty? America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can also listen on our media player from any web browser in the world, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, and now you can listen to the podcasts on those apps so you can help learn and share and spread the blessings of liberty.
Stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.